And the theater that we're on our way to is These Shining Lives, that play, lovely play, which opens this Friday at Lake City Playhouse, runs Friday, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 2. Then it's Thursday through Sunday, the following 2 weeks of These Shining Lives. Returning to the area and directing it, and pleased to be doing that, so she says, is Kristen Kilmer. Hello, Kristen.
Hello, Vern. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Just because of kind of the mood we're getting to about These Shining Lives. And so maybe just spend a moment now of talking about how getting inside this play has affected you lately.
So I, you know, haven't directed in a long time. And so this was, you know, and I went to Brooke and said, you know, I really want to do something. And, you know, musicals are so popular. Mm-hmm. And she goes, but I do have this straight, you know, it's only about 64 pages, 69 pages, something like that. She goes, and the cast is really small. This might be perfect for you. And I was like, perfect, you know, because if I had to do dancing and, you know, singing and choreography and all that stuff, I don't know if I could handle it. So we picked it, put me on it, and when I read it, I was like, I mean, you read this show, and it reads like a dream. It reads like you're in someone's head. So, I mean, immediately was like, okay, yeah, I can do this. Let's do this. And it's been a delight and a journey of even self-discovery again, like, okay, when's my next show? When can I do another one?
And so that's These Shining Lives, which is opening. And even though we're not going to quite give away the plot or where it's going just yet, I do want to bring in Maria Stromberg. Yeah,
yes.
Who plays the role of Catherine. And this is an interesting role, isn't it? Because kind of talk about the duality or the full thing that you're involved with on stage as doing this role.
Yeah, so Catherine is playing, essentially, she's the narrator of the play and she's also the protagonist. So it's kind of this, like Kristen said, very, very dreamlike kind of sequence in which essentially the way I kind of play it is, you know, Catherine's dying. She's going back through her memories of her life right before she dies, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so she's taking the audience with her on this journey of her memories and looking through all the things that have happened to her. So popping back in and out of scenes, you know, bringing the audience in, telling them this is what I remember, you know, and then walking into the scene.
And so, obviously, there's not a consecutive timeline in this play. It's going back and forth through different times. Go ahead, Kristen.
Well, I think it's linear, but it jumps, and it's almost like we get to see reality and what's going on in Catherine's mm-hmm. head at the same time, mm-hmm. Which has been really fun to play mm-hmm. with. You know, Catherine breaks the fourth wall consistently, you know, where she literally looks at the audience and says things like, you know, the company doctor was a liar, you know, mm-hmm. and then moves back into the reality of the scene. And so, and honestly, the stage direction and the transitions for this have been very challenging because of that, and trying to stay true to what the playwright wrote and how she was interpreting it. But it's been an interesting challenge and a fun challenge.
Yeah. And Brendan James Miller, you have the role of Tom, which
yes.
is, Catherine's husband?
Yes.
Okay. And I think I mostly just wanted to get your voice here because I want to go right to a scene now because I don't want to say much about it. Let's all just listen to and hear this relational scene develop between Catherine and her husband, Tom.
The kids
read themselves to sleep. The beauty of a good bedtime story. He did the dishes, thank you.
I'm getting better.
We make a good team, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
I'm beat.
Well, maybe you need a bedtime story.
Maybe I do.
Well, once upon a time, there was this guy, a handsome guy, a dashing guy named Tom. He wasn't only dashing, he was funny and smart and swell in general. Yeah, an all-around amazing kind of dashing guy.
That part gets better every time you tell it.
Well, don't interrupt. Mm. And this amazing dashing guy, he made his living welding steel in the sky hundreds of feet in the air. He was that kind of guy.
And not afraid of heights kind of guy.
Loves the heights kind of guy.
Hmm.
And one day, this guy, in a rare moment with his feet actually on the ground, he sees a girl.
He just spots her?
Well, not just, because there's no just with this girl, because this girl is special. This girl is like no other girl this guy has ever known.
Is that the truth?
The truth, because this girl, this magnificent creature, walks like she's in the clouds and looks like she's made of gold and silver and silk.
Even though she was wearing wool.
It didn't matter to this guy if she was wearing tire rubber, because this girl wasn't just beautiful. This girl looked like an answered prayer.
And this guy, he did a lot of praying?
In his own way.
And this girl, did she notice this guy?
Hell no. Which didn't stop this guy, because as I may have mentioned, he was amazing. And this guy, he walks right up to her while she's waiting for the trolley and says...
Amazing guy that he is.
Hey, you want a stick of gum? To which she replied...
Get away from me.
To which the guy said, come on, just a stick.
To which she said, go away or I'll scream.
To which he said, it's Wrigley's gum, which means it's locally grown. Come on, be a peach and support your local gum farmers.
Which made her laugh. And when she laughed, she accidentally saw his eyes, which she was trying to avoid.
But what happened then?
Oh, you know.
I forgot.
She saw his eyes, and in them, between the brown and gold flecks of light, she saw her past, present, and everything to come all swirled together like in a crystal ball. His eyes were like that. They held her world. They told the future.
And the girl?
Knew it was the truth. And now?
The boy and a girl have a boy and a girl of their own.
Who are sound asleep.
Man, that's some bedtime story.
A very grown-up kind of bedtime story, I think.
Why is that?
Because it involves a very grown-up kind of bed.
Oh, does it now?
Yes, it does.
You know, sometimes I think your job has made you a little...
I think it has. Still want me to quit?
Not right now.
A scene from this play, These Shining Lives, the husband and wife, Tom Denby, Brendan James Miller, and Catherine by Maria Stromberg. And so let's just all three kind of talk about where we're at right now, because if drama is to have emotion, then we need a range, we need the extremes. And I know of no sweeter love story than has just been told. And that must be fun just to do it, isn't it?
For you. Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, 100%.
And so now we have to bring in the cold real life of the other side, from which we get the drama, the tragedy that comes along.
Well, this relationship between Catherine and Tom is really the cornerstone and backbone of this play, where we've picked it up in their lives. And this snapshot of their lives, it really, this relationship is what drives, you know. And there's the moments that they begin very loving, and then it ends extremely loving for Tom after he has lost Catherine. And just to kind of go back to this whole thing, so this is a story of the Radium Girls from World War II. We're looking into the lives, a snapshot of the lives of the women who worked at the Radium Dial Company, who painted glow-in-the-dark, dials, wristwatches,
yeah.
for the what are they? The guys who went to war. So they had something that glowed in the dark.
Yeah, the airmen.
Sorry, I know what I'm talking about. I swear. Yeah. That particular story between the two of them is again the cornerstone of what is carrying us through. And believe it or not, I actually considered not doing that scene because I thought it was just, you know, added fluff. And then when I watched these two do it, who have a great connection, by the way, I was like, oh, no, we have to keep it in there. And they were like, no, we have to keep it in there. And it really goes to show that how much they care for each other, considering what they're going through. The you know, economics were tough back then. Women didn't work back then. Women never came home and didn't have the, you know, the dinner on the table for their husbands back then. And these were things that they were going through. And
which that scene really pointed out beautifully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And prior to that, they'd had a little scuffle. And after that, it is when she really starts to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. So this was a really poignant, I think, turn for them to solidify their relationship.
Yeah, which mm-hmm. it certainly did. And then there's four women involved, so talk briefly about the other three women in a similar situation, all suffering from the radium poisoning.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's Charlotte, who's kind of the, I would say, kind of rival slash friend to Catherine, sort of the main one of the other three women. You know, this sassy kind of, you know, very outspoken woman who kind of you see her sort of slowly break down over the course of the play, you know, as she comes to terms with what's happening to them. And at the same time, you kind of get this relationship between her and Catherine that becomes really strong, this really powerful friendship that they form. And then you have we have Pearl and we have Frances are the other two. Pearl is, you know, she's this jokester, you know, the really bad pun, you know, bad joke kind of always has a bad joke for the occasion. They're always about animals for some reason.
Yeah.
And Frances, who's this very straight-laced, you know, kind of, you know, slightly moralizing character, but with a heart of gold. Mm-hmm. And those two kind of provide a lot of the comic relief in most of the scenes. And you have this sense throughout the play that these girls grow together and they form this really close connection that's like a family connection, you know, to each other, so that when they finally, you know, are faced with what are we going to do, the situation that we're in, you know, they all come together and they look to Catherine, essentially, to lead them to make the decision.
Seems like it would make for awfully good drama to have four very distinct different people facing the same devastating problem.
Yeah, yeah.
In this, of that famous thing about the licking the brush and that nobody noticed.
And I'm always drawn to stories about ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances. They, you know, it's the old tale of, you know, like the fish out of water kind of tale. So it's really just and what these women actually, in the journey that they take the audience on, is something that needs to be celebrated, to be honest.
Yeah. This is the play, These Shining Lives, which opens this Friday night at Lake City Playhouse. I think that's between 13th and 14th on Garden, or somewhere around that part of Coeur d'Alene, and runs for three weekends, and after this weekend is Thursday through Sunday. So then to each of you, so Catherine, tell me about your theatrical life before and after and beyond this play.
Well, so this is the first starring role I've had in community theater around here, which I have not been doing for very long. In fact, I started, I'd say about a year ago, in fact, I was in the chorus of The Hunchback of Notre Dame at Aspire. And then I just thought, wow, this is amazing. I want to be part of this kind of experience again. And I so then I've been in Bonnie and Clyde at Lake City Playhouse. And I was also in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, also at Lake City. And so it's really been, you know, it's been a challenge. And I'm so incredibly grateful to Kristen for placing me in this role, because it's just been really wonderful getting to know Catherine and kind of getting to be, you know, part of this story.
Yeah, it sounds like you just have so much to do, so much emotionally to do within this story.
Yeah, it's really quite a challenge for me, because I've never really had an experience where I literally am not off the stage for more than maybe 2 minutes at a time, and maybe only twice or three times in the play that I'm actually off stage while someone is talking. So trying to keep that emotional, you know, line through it while walking to the right spot and remembering which scene is coming next, you know, that's been a challenge. But But it's been a really good challenge for me.
Maria Stromberg as Catherine. And then as her husband, Tom, Brendan James Miller, you do a fair amount of theater around here, don't you?
Yeah. Yes,
so tell me about your theatrical life.
Well, I fell in love with the game, they call it, when I was 14 years old. I started doing plays and theater performances at local high school. And then I just really had a burning passion for it. So when I was able to go to college, I had journeyed out and did a lot of college productions. And this is the first...
And where was that? Where were you?
North Idaho College, okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. With director Joe Jacoby. Mm-hmm. Beautiful human. I love him. Mm-hmm. And then I found my way because I live 3 minutes away from Lake City Playhouse. And I noticed that they were doing These Shining Lives. And I was really sad about missing out when Joe Jacoby did it. And so I knew that I had to audition for this show.
And there you are doing it. Yeah. And Kristen, I made some references to your you've been away doing television and film and things like that.
I grew up in Coeur d'Alene. Started my theater career when I was 18, I think. Mm-hmm. Used to audition on this stage we're playing on now when I was young. Never got any roles, and I'll get to that in a minute. Did some stuff at NIC, went through the theater department at NIC as a kid. And again, was always a little bit more of a comedic actor than anything. I think one of my first plays was Arsenic and Old Lace, and I played one of the old ladies with Rebecca McNeil back then, Rebecca Morrison. And then all of a sudden got into film and television, and that, got behind the camera. And not as a director, but in production, producing, assistant mm-hmm. directing, mm-hmm. So I went the television route. And then when I moved back to Coeur d'Alene, got back into the theater and have been in the administration side for a really long time. Creative bug catches you every once in a while, and I've been wanting to direct something for a couple of years. So this was the first one that's really caught my eye, and I feel like my years of being in film and television and being in theater and being a trained actor has helped my instincts and my timing. And, we'll see you on Friday. No, yeah. I'm not worried at all. I think I'm healthily nervous about Friday.
And every performer should be healthily nervous.
Yeah.
Kristen Kilmer directing These Shining Lives. Thank you to the three of you. This lovely play opening this Friday running through for three weekends.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.